Hi, welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm Jim Day, and this is part two of our annual provincial budget roundup, where we discuss some of the key tax change and funding announcements included in Canadian provincial and territorial budgets. In our last episode, we covered the 2023 Manitoba, Alberta, and British Columbia budgets, and today we're going to focus on Saskatchewan, Ontario, Quebec, and time permitting, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Newfoundland and Labrador. To help bring us up to speed on some of the key changes, we're joined by a few returning guests: Irene Belvedere, Senior Manager in Ryan's Client Support Services Group; David Douglas, Principal and Leader of Ryan's Government Funding Practice; and Brian Cardinal, a Principal in our Scientific Research and Experimental Development, otherwise known as SHRED, practice. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
And we're also joined by a first-time guest, Raphael Josiak, a Director of Finance and Tax in our SHRED practice, joins us from our Montreal office. Hi, Raphael.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Before we dive into some of the more specific measures that have been announced, I just thought I'd ask you, what were your general impressions? You know, now that we've got all except one of the provincial budgets released, are you seeing any trends, or what are your general observations? David, maybe I'll start with you.
Sure, Jim. Thanks very much. Yeah, I think my general observation is that a lot of the provinces are mirroring the federal budget fairly closely in terms of their area of priorities. And so it's not a surprise to us, but the funding that we're seeing coming down is really along some of the traditional buckets, like hiring and training incentives. Virtually all the provinces really stacked up on hiring and training incentives. Agriculture funding, innovation in agriculture funding. You know, this sector is just so important to Canada. There are protein supercluster funds, many R&D and innovation projects in the sector. And so not a surprise that a lot of the provinces followed with specific grant funding and specific programs in the agri-tech, agri-food, agri-innovation sector. So I'll lead you through a few of those. Certainly manufacturing and sustainability were buckets that have both tax credits and government funding that you're going to hear about, and some new and very interesting tax credits to talk about as we go through the province to province. But yeah, not a big surprise. Oh, critical minerals. That's the other one that really is the newbie on the block in terms of provincial funding. And again, following the federal strategy and the importance of onshoring the critical minerals for electric vehicles, lots to say in that space and lots more to come. So that's definitely an area that hit a lot of buttons in the provincial plans.
Yeah, I agree with you, David. That certainly was a big trend. Lots of money, whether it be by programs or through tax credits for clean tech and those types of programs, really quite a bit going on there. Any other comments? Brian, maybe?
Yeah, I would just echo what Dave was saying. I'm a technology guy, being in the SHRED practice. So the tech focus, you know, the manufacturing, all those things, I think with the common goal across the provinces of growing the economy or regrowing the economy, recovering the economy. The overarching theme, I thought, was, except for Alberta that you covered already, but lots of spending. Lots of spending on programs for jobs, for training, for human capital, for clean tech, or things that the provinces think are going to grow the economy in their areas.
Productivity improving capital investment is a big one that resonates in all of the provincial, both tax credits and grant funding. So the capital investment piece is, you know, productivity and particularly growth and scaling are Canada's big challenge. Like we stack up comparatively very well when it comes to R&D or tax credit incentives, but when it comes to actually scaling that we tend to sell out to the U.S. Too quickly and lose a lot of that ability to generate wealth here in Canada. So that's another area that these programs are trying to attack, is, you know, shifting upscale from that R&D phase into that scaling and growth phase to help companies stay here in Canada longer and generate more big wealthy companies here in Canada rather than in the US.
And what did you see, Irene? Any major trends?
The only thing that to me, based on the fact that I specialize in the commodity tax side, there wasn't, much indication of any tax increases, which is in line with all the funding, so it's like giving money back instead of taking it. We've just gotten over COVID. Things are expensive in general. There really isn't anything. I mean, there's a few little bit, Ontario and Quebec had a few little extra increase in taxes. But other than that, it's been more of status quo from a commodity tax, or, Saskatchewan put out a few additional exemptions. Interesting, some retroactive, and I'll talk about that shortly. But yes, I'm not really seeing any, there's been really no tax increases or really any new tax that is being imposed at this time.
I definitely saw the same thing. I guess with the cost of living increasing and inflation being such big issues, not a great environment to talk about increasing taxes. And in fact, I think some of the measures we'll talk about are credits or tax decreases, if anything. So great observations. So let's take a look at some of the specific measures that were announced. And hopefully, if it's okay with everyone, I'd like to work from west to east. So we'll start with the budget announcement in Saskatchewan. David, I mean, what caught your eye in terms of the funding announcements made in Saskatchewan this year?
Yeah, not surprisingly, Saskatchewan, given the nature of its economy, hit pretty hard on agriculture and critical minerals. So mining is obviously a big part of the economy in Saskatchewan. So they've significantly expanded the targeted mineral exploration incentive program. So they're is a program that is specifically helping companies to survey and do the exploratory drilling for the critical minerals that will feed into the EV stream, which, of course, is a big federal and provincial push. Similarly, there's a new program for exploration companies for the geoscience data. And this is a theme that I'm seeing more and more. Data analytics is becoming a big part of all technology dives, whether it's in biopharmaceutical, in software, obviously. In many, many areas, the data analytics is really supporting those technology innovations in anything from manufacture to software development to life sciences. Data analytics is supportive and becoming significantly intertwined with those. So I'm not surprised to see support for geoscience data and for exploration companies come in. Agricultural funding, research and innovation, Sustainable Canada Agricultural Partnership just launched with a $90 million fund, which is to fund strategic initiatives in the proteins area, as well as $408 million of funding for risk management programs, which tends to be agriculture stability, ensuring that crop failures and crop insurance sustains the sector. So that was interesting to see. So that's, those were the highlights from Saskatchewan, and very suited to the and consistent with the federal programs, but also very consistent with their economy.
I was going to ask you, you find that was very consistent with the other Western provinces as well?
Oh, certainly. The critical minerals aspect in Alberta, in BC, those are, even though they're not as explicit, even the general funding and innovation programs, if you have a project in that space, you're going to get a higher priority than otherwise. So even if they don't have critical minerals on the program, those general programs are going to rank a higher in priority and have a better chance of success. These are competitive programs. And so if you're hitting the hot buttons of the federal and provincial policy, you're going to have a better chance of success.
Yeah, that's important to remember, right? Sometimes provinces are kind of competing with each other, for the business or the investment, and that'll certainly affect their policy. Yeah, that's a really good observation. You mentioned the tripling of the mineral exploration tax credit. I think it's up to 30% now. really, though, I didn't see a lot else on the income tax side. I think they extended one other existing tax credit that they had for a year. But Irene, I wanted to ask you, what did you see in terms of the provincial sales tax or PST? Any changes there?
So interestingly enough, I mean, along with the culture theme that David mentioned, so the budget actually is proposing to provide exemptions for storage buildings and containers used to hold commercially grown fruits and vegetables. Now, it is going to be subject to certain conditions. But what's most interesting about that exemption is that it's going to be effective retroactive back to April the 1st of 2019. So that's not a new, I mean, they're saying proposed, but we are going back to 2019 in that case.
So that's even retroactive in favor of the taxpayer. Usually when it's retroactive, it works against
correct.
The taxpayer. So that's a good thing. Okay. Yeah, please continue.
They made another one where they identified that there was a lack of consistency regarding the application of the PST to various types of drilling rigs. And so to deal with that, they actually are initiating a PST exemption for commercially used geothermal drilling rigs used to explore for or generate electricity or steam that will be resold for commercial purposes. Now, in this case, this exemption is actually going to be backdated retroactive to April the 1st of 2017.
Wow.
So that's
wow, it's
going
even further back.
Yeah. It's even further back.
Can you even get audited back that far?
Well, I was just going to say.
Maybe just, so eh?
Just because Saskatchewan's audit period is generally 6 years. So
yeah, I guess that's why they've gone all the way back.
As far back as they can. Now, the one exemption that they made moving forward, which was effective April 1st of this year, is a PST exemption for repair and installation of medical equipment. So they're saying that any labor charges and material costs incurred to install or repair exempt medical equipment is going to be exempt of PST. However, they have come out and said, look, if the medical equipment is taxable, then any of that labor or materials is going to be taxable. It's really only if the medical equipment itself is exempt.
Oh, great summary, Irene. Let's move into Ontario and talk a little bit about the government's budget there. For the second consecutive year, they kind of stuck with a building theme. And I know there was at least one very interesting corporate income tax measure, a new manufacturing investment tax credit. Brian, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. This is a really interesting credit. There's a few key features to this. One, it's refundable for CCPCs. So it's focused on the Canadian-controlled privates that are making investments in manufacturing equipment and certain manufacturing buildings. It's a 10% refundable credit. So what this means is that as companies are coming out of that R&D phase and scaling up, we've been really good, as Dave mentioned earlier, at funding the R&D and the innovation, but not so much at the scaling and keeping manufacturing in the province or in the country. So this gives a refundable investment tax credit on class one buildings used for manufacturing, including improvements, renovations to them, or construction of buildings with to become available for use after the budget date and for certain manufacturing and processing equipment. It's a big deal for these companies to have that refundable money when they're in that growth and that scale up phase. But it also applies to larger established companies that are making investments in the province. Just out of interest, to contrast that with what Alberta did, they did an agricultural manufacturing credit of 12%, non-refundable, and only on investments of $10 million or more. So really focusing at the other end of the spectrum, the large companies with large investments and non-refundable. So they need to be paying tax to use it. Carries forward for 10 years, I should say, but it doesn't really help those scaling companies. So I'd really like to give a shout out to Ontario for creating this refundable credit that's going to help the smaller players who are Canadian controlled, the Canadian economy, the Canadian born, Canadian raised companies, to help them invest before they're necessarily taxable with refundable money to help fund that growth and scale.
Ryan, I agree with you on that. I'm kudos to Ontario for this. And I was very surprised to see the class one buildings in there. Like, it's not, you know, usually a surprise to see capital investment, capital equipment, productivity enhancing equipment in an ITC like this, but to see buildings and facility expansion included in it for the refundable status as well. That's a very strong feature of this program, which I think is hitting the nail on the head in terms of, you know, what addressing Canada and Ontario's needs in this regard to keep manufacturing here in Ontario to with its long supply chains and job creation activities. I think it's a fantastic credit that should do well to help our businesses scale and grow.
Yeah, I mean, I think the change that I saw in there, Jim, was also was along the theme of helping small businesses. They extended the small business limit calculation so that instead of phasing out when a CCPC hits 15 million of capital employed in Canada, it goes to 50 million, which is more in line with what the feds do. When you look at the SHRED credit, for example, the capital range there is 10 to 50 million. Now Ontario's matching that so that as a CCPC is getting bigger, and 15 million face it isn't that big in the global scale, but as that company is growing, they're going to benefit from those lower tax rates longer, which is another part of the theme, helping businesses grow in Ontario and in Canada. So it's a nice package for those scaling companies.
Yeah, it sounds like a fresh new approach and certainly very positive steps, for business in Ontario. Aside from income tax, I mean, what else was there? Irene, did you see anything from a commodity tax perspective?
Oh, well, my wine's going to get hit, but well, actually, it depends if I buy local or not. I guess that's the thing. So currently, the wine tax is Ontario. It's in four different categories. So it depends on whether it's Ontario wine or not Ontario wine, and then they break it down between whether you're purchasing from a winery retail store or at a wine boutique. So there's four different rates that are currently in place. But what came out in the budget is that what they're going to do is they're going to replace these four categories with one rate. So instead of rates varying from anywhere from 6.1% to as high as 22.6%, they're coming up with a single rate of 12%. And it's going to apply to wine sold in offsite wineries and retail locations. So it's going to be one rate, and it's going to be effective July 1st of 2023. And that's after we got hit with an increased rate for wine and beer on April the 1st. So that's going to hit some people.
Yeah, but the federal government was nice enough to cap that one.
That's true.
Otherwise, the inflationary adjustment would have been even worse. Yeah, very good point, though. Yeah,
exactly. And the only other thing, and this was buried in the budget. It wasn't something that came out. And it was just a comment. And it'll be interesting to see what evolves or what comes of it. So in the budget documents, the province actually suggested that the federal government defer the HST on new large purpose-built rental housing projects. So not quite sure how that's going to pan out because not quite sure what they mean by defer and what the intent is, because with residential housing, like, it all flows down. I mean, nobody really bears the cost till the very end, when it's actually sold that first time. So not quite sure what they think is going to come of this, but it's interesting because it's now the province going to the feds and saying, hey, we want you to do this. So we shall see.
Yeah, I saw that one too. It was very interesting. Obviously, that kind of change would be up to the federal government.
Absolutely.
But it certainly sounded like an interesting idea, but it was kind of presented as almost only an idea at this point, as opposed to having actual measures and provisions and things for us to analyze. But I guess something to keep an eye on going forward. But I'm with you. I'm not sure what they meant by deferral, because there's already provisions in place to defer the impact of the GST and HST until those types of buildings are completed.
Right.
So very good. Yeah. Before we leave Ontario, though, David, how about from a funding standpoint? Did you see anything or anything else you want to comment on there?
Yeah, certainly Ontario hit pretty hard on the hiring and wage subsidies and training grants, particularly as it relates to the skilled trades. So some money, $224 million for infrastructure, bricks and mortar for training centers related to skilled trades. a new program, Ontario Immigrant Nominee Program, which helps source immigrants into the province with skilled trade backgrounds. Also a longstanding program, MyTax, for a collaborative post-secondary institution projects with the private sector and in collaboration with universities, more money topped up there. Funding for critical minerals, successful critical minerals strategy received more money in their program. The Ontario Junior Exploration Program received money in the critical minerals stream and the critical mineral exploration tax credit in Ontario. So you can see this, you know, you can see what's happening as the critical minerals is just being stacked up in each province through both funding programs and tax credits. Also support for different entrepreneurial incubators, let's say. Futurepreneur is a program, not-for-profit, that received money to help entrepreneurs grow their businesses. A not-for-profit called RAISE, Racialized and Indigenous Supports for Entrepreneurial Programs, received significant funding as well. So those are some of the the basic entrepreneurial support programs that the government in Ontario helped with this time around.
Yeah, that's they had quite a comprehensive list, especially when it came to sort of helping businesses, it seemed like. So if it's a question of hiring or training or growing your business, they definitely seem to be stepping up to the plate there. Let's move into Quebec and talk about what they have going on. I know from a tax perspective, the 1% personal income tax rate reduction really grabbed a lot of headlines. But I found the 10-year tax holiday for large investment projects quite interesting. Raphael, you're in Montreal. What did you think of their plan?
Well, I think this is one of the biggest announcements in this budget. Well, my first comment is it was a very prudent budget, simply because here in Quebec, our economic situation is pretty strong. The employment rate is around 5%. So the government had no reasons to propose any new programs or incentives. So that's why this large investment project was not expected. The way it works is a company under certain conditions will benefit for a tax holiday on revenues and on contribution to the health service fund. That program will last for 10 years. However, there are some conditions. First, the company has to spend over $100 million on that project over 48 months.
So that's what they mean by a large investment project.
Exactly.
$100 million or more?
$100 million, yeah. And with that, the government expects to attract over 100 projects for a total of $24 billion, which is pretty high.
Yeah, that would be. And it looked to me like the credit amount or the holiday amount would vary potentially.
Yes,
depending on where the investment was made. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. The government divided the province in three specified zones. The first one is called Low Economic Vitality Zone, which gets up to 25% of a tax holiday. Then you have the Intermediate Economic Vitality Zone, which gets up to 20%. And you have the High Economic Vitality Zone with a tax holiday of 15%. Obviously, the government wants to encourage more businesses to invest in the regions. So the Low Economic Vitality Zone gets the highest rate.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach for sure. Now, my understanding is there already was a tax holiday program in Quebec, and this one is going to replace that one? Is that how it works?
It's simply an extension of the existing program
another
10 years. Yes.
Okay. So if you're already in under the other program, you're not affected by this
announcement? No, you're not. You maintain all your privileges and you can continue.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting for sure. Were there any other observations from a tax perspective coming out of the Quebec budget?
Well, there is one. It's about that threshold of shred expenses. Every year, we're expecting that measure to disappear, but it's still in place. So the way it works is for a small business, the first $50,000 of R&D expenses is excluded from the calculation of the credit. And that represents a loss of nearly $10,000 for a small business. So it's a very penalizing measure. So
Raphael, I agree with you. I would have expected to see that reverse. They did it ostensibly to reduce the number of filers and the lower end of the size of claims to increase their audit efficiency in the province. But it really hits hardest to those really early stage technology companies that are under that yes. threshold. And that's just such an absolutely fundamental part of being in a technology focused economy is supporting those companies to make it through that that stage of their existence. So I'm very surprised that it still hasn't been turned around, because I know how hard companies, sectors, associations, technology companies have been really pressing and lobbying hard for that to be reversed.
The only reason we see it's still in place is because they want to reduce the volume of claims presented.
Right, right.
And also reduce the cost of that program.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
It is a bit curious. It seems like it would be an easy win to dispose of the threshold, but I guess
yes.
I guess they felt a large, complicated tax holiday would be a better way to go.
It's the threshold. It's a very simple method, doesn't cost anything, and it simplifies their life, I guess.
Yeah. Irene, any non-income tax observations from Quebec's budget?
The only thing that I saw, sort of for my group, what we deal with is. So Quebec has a tire recycling program, and they've been funding it by having a duty on new tires for road vehicles. So unfortunately, what they've been collecting is not enough to fund the program. And if they kept it at the current rates, they'll run out of money very soon. So what they are doing is they are increasing the rate, and they're now going to just divide our... have two various rates depending on the size of the tires. So it will cost more for new tires in the province.
So there is a tiny little tax increase hidden in there amongst all the big cuts that they announced. I guess that's kind of interesting, but not really surprising given what it probably costs to dispose of those tires. I did notice one other thing from a more general perspective in their budget as part of tax fairness initiatives. The province announced plans, and among those plans was to increase audit activities. I just found it a little bit ironic, maybe, because I think your average taxpayer wouldn't equate increased audit activity with tax fairness. But I guess that's just a matter of opinion. We are starting to run a little low on time, but I do want to give everyone a chance to comment on the budgets presented by New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Newfoundland and Labrador. Did any of you see any significant tax or government funding changes or announcements in those budgets, David?
Yeah, interesting. In Newfoundland, they have several tax credits that they leaned on. One is for manufacturing and processing investment tax credits for capital equipment for use in manufacturing, fishery, farming, forestry. So pretty traditional. Capital investment or ITC, but also a green technology tax credit for, capital equipment that is in energy conservation, clean energy generation, efficient use of fossil fuels. So the ITCs there are pretty strong and have contributed significantly to the, in the investment in clean energy in that province. Also in New Brunswick, we saw a very similar thing, but from a different angle through Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership. So supporting companies that are making sustainability inroads through agri-innovation, competitiveness, and resilience. So that was in New Brunswick. In Nova Scotia, they went very similar to Ontario. They supported a lot of the hiring and training initiatives to onshore skilled trades, training for skilled trades, also topped up the MyTax program in that province, as well as digital skills to succeed program, which received significant top up funding. So digital transformation, big topic in all areas of innovation. So the Nova Scotia went that direction. Yeah, so that's those are some of the significant high-level things that happened on the East Coast.
Yeah, and I think part of what they did in Nova Scotia, I think some of it was also a personal income tax refund for certain skilled workers. So from a couple
very consistent
there. Yeah, good observations. Anyone else?
Just a couple of two things. So from Newfoundland and Labrador, they are proposing to eliminate the retail sales tax on purchase of home insurance. So that's for individuals. And then they announced that they're going to extend the 7 cents per liter reduction in gasoline tax that applies to gasoline and diesel. So it was to expire, but they're going to keep it in place now until the end of March of 2024. And the only other thing that comes to mind from my area is New Brunswick and the carbon tax. So New Brunswick had a made in New Brunswick approach to the carbon tax. But when they realized that, you know, all the other Atlantic provinces chose the federal backstop for carbon taxation, they've now decided that they're going to be adopting that. The federal government has accepted the request, but they've announced they have to review it. So we don't have a date for when that will actually come into play or take effect. So we're going to have to wait on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's great coverage, everyone. Obviously, we don't have time to cover every single tax or change or funding announcement made in all six budgets. But, you know, I do know that a lot of the key tax changes have been summarized, and you can find that information on our tax alerts on the Ryan website at ryan.com/Canada under News and Insights. And we've also added a budget landing page where on one page you can see all of the federal and provincial budgets that have been released in Canada this year, just to help you navigate to the jurisdiction of interest. And, you know, I obviously, David, you know, from a government funding perspective, where's the best place for someone to find out more information?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. If you go to the Ryan website and look up government funding, and or the MentorWorks, a Ryan company, has a website with all sorts of budget summaries, information by province, federal, as well as linkages to the SHRED program and all the government funding programs that are available. So very robust content there for those seeking government funding of all kinds.
And I know MentorWorks also has a specific budget landing page as well. Of course, that's MentorWorks right. Is a Ryan company that specializes in Canadian government funding. And, you know, we stole the idea from them, basically. So very good. And of course, if you still have questions about any tax changes, you need to talk to Irene's group. And Irene, how can someone get in touch with you if they have concerns maybe about some of the proposed tax measures in these budgets?
Sure. There's two ways to access our group. So the first is calling the Tax Direct line, which is 1-800-667-1600. And alternatively, they can send an email to taxdirect@ryan.com. And we have a team here who's ready, willing, and able to answer questions.
Sounds good. Okay, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to provide your insights on all these budgets today. It was really informative.
Thanks very much. Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. Join us next time when we'll talk about some of the key changes announced in this year's Canadian federal budget. And as always, you can send your questions, comments, or suggestions to events@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.